in week one. What do you like about Waitman? I asked. He said he's got a cannon.
I'm thinking back. I'm not going to go into too much detail. I'm thinking of a very funny radio bit from back.
But
in
then
the day.
After he said I would understand money and younger, he did come back and say to me, the Steelers are trying to win this year. If they thought for a second going with the other guy was the best choice, they would have. So he circles back to the idea that they just think Waitman's better than Johnston.
Maybe this
which
money,
based on how they punted in the preseason, I think would reflect that. I thought Waitman was better. Not that I'm a punting savant or anything. I'm just going by the numbers. And you're going off the resume with Johnston, which I
correct.
Also understand.
Yeah, the resume is better, but I mean, if you think it's genuinely close, then you probably would go with the cheaper option because now they have that money freed up that they were going to pay Cameron Johnston to maybe pay Cam Hayward. Maybe there's some money being earmarked other places.
Alex Kozora mentions that Waitman's hang time was the second best on punts this preseason and that Cameron Johnston was tied for 30th.
More time for the coverage units to get down the field.
Now, okay, so PFF was the people that were doing this.
Kozora also was answering a question from one of his many yeah. followers on Twitter about, do you think it was because Waitman might have been a better holder? Kozora, they're both good holders, but I'm sure they didn't want to mess up continuity from a kicker coming off his best ever season. I think the person who asked the question in the first place didn't want to give me credit for bringing it up on the air. I think they were listening, then they took it right to Kozora.
So what we've learned about this is no one wants to give you credit and people want to find things to blame on me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Nick Faribault will take us through this decision and some of the other Steelers roster moves that are going to happen between now and 1 o'clock tomorrow when you have to get down to 53. That could include some trades. The Raiders got word from their top receiver today, Jacoby Myers, that he wants to get traded out of Vegas. And people have connected the Steelers to Myers because the Steelers still have a wide receiver 2 problem. Brian Batko joined us last hour and said he doesn't think the Steelers really see it as a problem and thinks the most the Steelers would give up is a 4th-round pick. Another wide receiver who's available right now for the right price is Adam Thielen in Carolina. The Steelers almost traded for him last year, but the issue was Thielen was damaged goods at that point. He was hurt, and they didn't want to trade for an injured guy. They needed instant help. It was midseason. They didn't want to risk giving up a draft pick for someone who was less than 100%, so they passed on that deal. Thielen stayed in Carolina. It was actually, when he got back from injury in his early 30s, really good with Bryce Young. They drafted Tet McMillan from Carolina. They have a lot of young receivers. We didn't see a ton of them on Thursday. They rested them against the Steelers. But they have guys who obviously factor into their long-term plans. The thought there is Carolina really doesn't want to trade him because they think he's a good influence on those guys and he's also productive.
Security however, blanket type of player for Young, too.
However, if somebody offered a high enough pick for a wide receiver in his 30s with short-term future both there and the NFL to them, they'd have to consider it.
Define high enough pick.
I asked that question, and the response I got was, they would definitely do it for a 3rd.
Hell no.
But I can't see myself trading again.
He's 34.
I know.
Absolutely not.
So I actually think Carolina's in a situation where they're going to play it out to see how things go early in the year for them. And if they struggle and they're not winning, they'll trade them before the deadline.
A trade for them, the best way a trade happens for them is, and it's bad big picture, is they're not good, but he's putting up good numbers. But they're, you know, at yeah. the deadline, they're
well, that's not,
already out of the
race. Best case scenario for them is that they're Bryce Young is actually good and they don't want to trade him. But that
no,
would be
I'm
the
saying
next best,
best case scenario if they're going to trade him.
Oh.
The circumstances under which a trade could happen is he's putting up good numbers, but the team has not won games.
ESPN just had one of the dumbest articles I've ever seen in my entire life today about potential trades. And so a Thielen deal back to Minnesota, which has also been reported and rumored, was in there. And I think they had him going to the Vikings for a 6th and 7th round pick. I mean, if that's all it takes to get him, I would want the Steelers to do that. I mean, well, I'm actually not as much in favor of a Thielen trade as other people are, because that is a strictly all about 2025 deal. And I don't want to, if I'm going to trade for a receiver, ideally for me, I want someone that can both help now and potentially later, that has a future with the Steelers, that's a guy in his 20s that you can give another contract to and he can solve that wide receiver two problem long term. This is just putting a Band-Aid on things
rental.
If you do that.
It's a tourniquet.
Yeah. I mean, they've done a few of those things. I mean, Darius Slay's one of those guys. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is. But I wouldn't want to give up like future assets right now for somebody.
You're just chasing so hard for a season where on the outside looking in, everybody else is looking at you and saying, come on.
Yeah.
You're in a transition year and you don't know.
Now, the dumber thing about ESPN was this trade projection.
It was a hypothetical. Like Bill Barnwell, who's a smart guy, put together big trades that like almost need to happen, I think is how he frames this. Like, change of scenery situations, like this makes logical sense. I read this today, Pony.
Yeah.
And I subscribe to various paid ESPN products. I thought about canceling the subscriptions.
Steelers send day three pick for a talented quarterback was the headline. Colts get a 2026 fourth round pick and the Steelers get Anthony Richardson in the deal.
Rich Walsh should actually ask for royalties here for like intellectual property theft.
For being the first one to put that into the
yes.
world.
I'll say what I said to you when we were having our back and forth on Will Howard to start the show. Why in God's green earth would anyone believe that the Pittsburgh Steelers in the year 2025 with Mike Tomlin as their head coach would be the correct place to go and rehab a quarterback who has failed in stop one?
But in Will Howard's defense, he hasn't failed yet, though.
No, I'm just saying they don't have they have no reputation whatsoever as a place that actually rehabs bad
quarterbacks. Well, yeah, I mean, look at the last two Chicago quarterbacks that have come here.
Trubisky's
back in Buffalo, and Fields is with the Jets now.
Kidding aside a little bit, I think Barnwell is a smart guy. What is he smoking to think that this is a good idea? He basically...
And this is coming from a guy like you who used to like Anthony Richardson a lot.
Yeah,
you got a total 180 on him.
I just don't want the Steelers to be the team that tries to say, we'll spend a late pick for a lottery ticket. You've already proven you don't know how to get the most out of him. I skimmed what Bill wrote. His basic theory was Arthur Smith's offense, which wants to be run heavy, long story short, is the perfect place for Anthony Richardson to try to put his career back together. Even if that were true, and I'm not sure it is, one huge problem. You have a head coach that if he got Anthony Richardson in here and actually had to put him in games, would basically have him in a straitjacket, probably taking away whatever it is that might make Anthony Richardson special.
The guy has no clue where the ball's going when he throws it.
That's the other thing, too.
And it looked good for the first drive against the Steelers before he got hurt last September.
But who knows what it would have... I think most people think that if he had stayed healthy in that game, the Steelers would have come back to win it.
They'd have a better chance because Flacco came in and absolutely cooked them.
I don't understand why they are always connected to any quarterback.
Well, they're connected
prospect.
To guys because they don't have one, Chris. That's why they're connected to these.
Yeah, but in his case, in
rehab, change of scenery guys.
Okay. Wouldn't you connect Anthony Richardson, just humor me here, to a team like the Rams that has a proven quarterback developer and say, this guy is a long shot prospect, but their quarterback is aging out of his window soon and has already dealt with back issues? And would you rather have Stetson Bennett there? Or would you rather, like, at least take a huge swing at this guy, and if you know, he's a sixth-round pick that you have to give up to get him, and it doesn't work out, oh well. That would make more sense to me. He doesn't know where the ball's going. Get him a bunch of layups in an offense that if he can master the offense, he might actually be able to run.
Segment is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar. Their fan beer of the month is Hitchhiker Brewing's Bane of Existence. Supports Breakthrough T1D for type 1 diabetes research. We'll be at Mike's on Friday before the Savannah Bananas game. And by the way, if you're headed down there Friday or Saturday night, try the garage at Nova Place. Nova Place just steps from PNC Park, a short walk to Acrisure Stadium, located along South Commons. Prepay and reserve your parking at Nova Place Garage on ParkWiz. The best part is an easy exit in any direction after your event without getting stuck in traffic near the stadium. Plus, they offer hassle-free mobile payment to avoid any lines or delays while exiting the garage. Nova Place offers parking for all events on the North Shore, sports events, concerts, and more.
Pony, would you say quickly that you've become enough of a dad that getting in and out of a place, an event like that quickly and quote unquote, not beating traffic so much, but having a pretty smooth ride home has become a big
gigantic,
priority?
100%.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And it wasn't previously. You'd deal with it prior to being a dad?
I like to walk.
No, but I'm saying, like, sitting in your car, you were tolerant of it. Maybe you'd turn on the radio or you'd listen to a game, but now you've got Stella in there, and it's like, it's go time, pal.
I still am, but Amanda's, like, very impatient in those situations.
Really? Mm-hmm. And she's usually driving.
Yeah, because I like to read and watch things. All right. So, breaking news here. The Steelers have made 12 more roster cuts. They're down to 67. The most interesting, and by the way, there was a report that Ben Sauls was waiting to get waived because the Steelers were trying to trade him last hour. They couldn't find a taker, so he was cut, the former Pitt kicker. Other names here on this list. Mark Robinson shown the door. Lou Nichols, a preseason darling, one of Pomp's favorites. Wide receiver Max Herleman.
I mean, wasn't Lou Nichols kind of one of our darlings? We said he looked like the best running back. Herleman made a handful of plays.
I think Nichols and Herleman will end up back on the practice squad. My theory on Robinson is that he lost out to a Carson Bruner, who made a bunch of special teams plays, went in and played garbage times and was noticeable. He's a seventh-round pick. He can play special teams. I don't think it hurts that his dad was a good Steeler and still works for the organization.
Robinson just never progressed beyond the guy who, if things hard. Lined up right, he just knocks somebody into another dimension.
Nick Faribault joins us right now. Great Steelers insider on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. I think from that list, Nick, the biggest surprise to a lot of the people that do your job is that Cam Johnson got cut. And they went with Corliss Waitman at punter. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is the surprise. I mean, I predicted Johnston to win that job. They signed him just a year ago, Pony, to try and fix this whole operation. But you kind of dove into the stats. I mean, you look at the hang time stats, Waitman way better in that category. You look in terms of consistency, he was better in that category. So, yeah, I'm not stunned, but I did think Johnston, just because he was getting paid, he had the pedigree, and he did look pretty solid coming back from that knee injury, would maybe win this job. But good for Waitman.
To what extent do you think Waitman's ability as a holder, and or maybe more to the point, Chris Boswell's comfort, Nick, with him as the holder on field goals, played into this decision on the Steelers' part?
Yeah, I think that's another part of it, and just not messing with that operation. Waitman's really become a good holder, and Boz obviously had a all-pro year with him there. So I do think that was part of it as well. The other part that I do think is that Waitman's a lefty, and that is, you know, that's a little tougher for returners to handle. We saw a few more muffs last year because of that. So Waitman has a little advantage there too by being a lefty.
God, I wish Tomlin was this granular about clock management, Nick, if he's thinking about spin on the
Belichick
ball.
Belichick always loved the left hand, the left-footed punters for that exact reason.
I know.
Nick, what else do you anticipate as far as roster cuts between now and 1 o'clock tomorrow, names that Steelers fans would obviously know?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're probably going to see Robert Woods on that list, which is something probably you didn't expect when they signed him back in May. So I think we're going to see him on that list. The DB room is going to be the toughest one to figure out. Do they place Corey Trice or Beanie Bishop both hurt right now? Do one of those go to IR? Do they try and trade a DeMarvin Leal? Like, there's a few different guys.
What are your predictions on those moves? Let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, let's get a couple rapid fires here.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think that they probably end up keeping – this is just my thoughts. Yep. They keep Trice, and Bishop is either cut, traded, or put on IR. That's my guess. I think that Leal is probably gone, but Herbig's injury throws a wrench in that. So they might keep Leal just for Herbig insurance. But I think Leal's probably off the team. I think you – probably end up with another offensive lineman coming in externally. So I think they're going to have someone from the outside, probably a tackle come in to fill out some of the depth needs. And wide receiver is the big one to watch. They're scouring that market. They're looking at wide receivers. So do they see a taker? Do they find somebody that they can kind of meet a deal with? That throws a wrench into everything. But those are the big things to watch. But that DB room, that corner room, is going to be the biggest one to watch if they move Trice or if they move Bishop. I think, from what I think, James Pierre has kind of locked himself onto this roster through special teams play.
Nick, when it comes to the wide receiver room, to go back to that then, to what degree do you think, you said they're scouring the market, they're looking. Sometimes you can be looking for something and not be desperate to get it. You're looking for something that fits like right place, right time, right price. Or other times you could be like, we need something out there. We are desperate. This situation is critical. How do you actually think beyond DK Metcalf, they look at their wide receiver room? Desperate or just looking for the right fit?
Looking for the right fit because they want a bigger bodied outside guy. I think that's what they want. Someone that's physical, which is why they've had Gabe Davison twice to check on the medicals. He fits that perfectly. Jacoby Myers, for example, fits that even though he's a slot type. He is a big physical player. So that's the type of guy I think they're going to look at. Alan Lazard fits that. Jalen Tolbert with the Cowboys fits that. Those are just a few names. Tim Patrick with the Lions. You know, there are guys that are going to be on roster bubbles that are fitting that mold. I think less of someone like, for example, the Bills might move on from Curtis Samuel. I don't think he fits as much as what they would want than someone like Lazard or Tolbert or someone else that I kind of mentioned there. So I think that's what they're looking for. They're looking for the right fit. They like what they have. They think Roman Wilson's come along nicely. They like Scotty Miller. Calvin Austin's going to be healthy for week one. So they're pretty confident with that. And obviously they like Skowronek for his special teams ability. So they want another outside, bigger guy, I think, specifically when they look at this.
So then if you were a betting man, who do you think from that list is the most likely trade target for them, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, Lazard is probably up there. I think he has to be. The obvious connection for Rodgers. Jalen Tolbert is probably a good one, too, to think about. He's been passed up a little bit on that Dallas Cowboys depth chart. Ryan Flournoy there has passed him up. Jonathan Mingo's hurt, though, so that one's a little bit in doubt. There's two other names I would throw out there. Alec Pierce from the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
I think that one is a fun one for the Steelers, potentially. And then you look at the Patriots room. You got guys like Kendrick Bourne, maybe, potentially in that. But I think if you look at likeliest option, I'm just thinking of who would they teams would part ways with and who the Steelers would be interested with. I mean, it's kind of hard not to, for the answer to be Alan Lazard.
We thought he might make it all the way through this without falling victim to the Aaron Rodgers situation. I will pose this to you, Nick, and uh-oh, as I say that out loud, Pony, you ever had the train of thought leave your brain?
Well,
right
breaking
in the station?
News, Trey Hendrickson has signed with the Bengals, so they got that resolved here.
Thank God for the breaking news here, because I literally just drew a blank halfway through the question, Pony.
Nick,
here it is. Hold on. No, thank you. Got it back there. It was trade proposals involving the Indianapolis Colts. Nick, we had Richie Walsh say, maybe the Steelers could trade for Anthony Richardson last week. Frankly, we said, that's kind of funny. Why would Richie bring that up? Bill Barnwell did a big write-up at ESPN about why the Steelers ought to trade a late-round pick and take a swing on Anthony Richardson. What is your reaction to that idea actually gaining traction right now in bigger national circles?
I mean, I guess you're taking the dart throw on pure tools. But the Steelers aren't in a position where they don't have a young guy. I mean, Will Howard is a young guy with upside. Does he have the howitzer and the speed that AR does? No. I understand that. But Richardson has looked broken. He struggled kind of identifying protections, setting his protections. He's had struggles with accuracy. He's the same guy he was at Florida. Like, it's really hard to buy into that. Plus the locker room stuff that happened in Indy, I'm pretty out on that. I understand where they're coming from with that, but the Steelers have a young guy that they are kind of focusing on developing. It's Will Howard.
So how does that end up going there, Nick? Tomlin commented today that he's close to becoming a full participant in practice. So How do you think they juggle the four quarterbacks in the next few hours?
I'm expecting Howard to probably just practice and probably Skylar Thompson either gets the X or traded. I think that's probably what ends up happening here. Will Howard's not far off. They probably want the young kid to get some reps. And so they don't want him on IR necessarily all year, right? You want to see him in Indy. You want to see him get some team reps and scout team and different things like that. So that's my guess of how that plays out. It's a tough decision, obviously, because Skylar Thompson's played really well. But the other thing with Skylar Thompson, it's not like this guy hasn't played regular season football. I mean, he has. You've seen what he is like in the Mike McDaniel scheme with a good offensive coach. So there is that, too. Is the preseason a mirage, I think, is a real question there with Skylar Thompson.
All right, Nick, anything else that needs to be on our radar here between now and when the 53-man rosters get announced tomorrow with the Steelers?
Yeah, outside of offensive line and wide receiver, one position I think to at least keep an eye on is free safety. I do think the Steelers are open to adding a free safety there. Chuck Clark, they like him in the box, but athletically, not necessarily elite there anymore. So I think a free safety is probably something to keep an eye on. That could be a little bit of a sleeper move here for Pittsburgh.
Nick, your Steelers record prediction in 2025.
This is official. It's getting charted, just so you know.
Okay. Okay. Well, I've stuck with my guns to everybody I've told this to really since April. My prediction is 10-7.
Will they make the playoffs?
Yeah, they'll make the playoffs and they'll lose in the wild card.
Okay, thank you.
Every insider we've had has said that so far.
Plus intern Jack, who's not an insider yet, but he'll be there soon.
Training to be one. All right, thank you, Nick. Appreciate it.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. All right, so he is on the Lazard train.
Do you? I know. I thought we were going to get through a whole preseason joking
without
about
a friend
it
with, of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, without it actually
the
happening. The Captain Planet meetup group, you know?
Aaron Glenn said today that Lazard's a big part of their plans for the Steelers game. Maybe he's bluffing. Maybe he's like, I don't know why he would say that. Other than maybe he got asked about Lazard and he didn't want to like say something negative about the guy when in reality they want to move on from him. But
I mean, if they wanted to move on from him, wouldn't it be easy for them to call the Steelers and be like, hey, we've got this guy. We know your quarterback would really love to have him on the roster. Can you trade us a conditional 7th for him?
Trey Hendrickson reached an agreement today on a $14 million raise for this year.
Gets him up to 30.
Yep. It boosts his 2025 salary to $30 million.
Still an unrestricted free agent after this year. So it's basically just got a raise.
Not all that different from what, I mean, it's a lot more money than what Hayward wants, but it's the same principle as what Hayward wants for this year.
Although technically Hayward's got time left on his deal after this year.
No, but just about like
moving money to this year. Yeah, I would like a raise right now.
All right. The name of this new segment is called Can You Take Me Higher?
Can't believe this is a real thing.
Here's how it works.
I truly cannot believe this is a real thing that we are doing.
A question will get asked along these lines. Can you name... Let me start over. How many sports talk show hosts can you name who are better than Chris Mueller? And then we'll go around the room and I'll say, I can name one. And if no one thinks I can name that many, you'll ask me to do that. Until we get to a number between the three of us where two of us concede and say, all right, pal, go ahead. You're on. Let's see how many you can name that are better.
And this is somewhat subjective, so you have to make a compelling case for something like this.
Yes.
In fact, all of these are subjective.
For example, the first question here is the following. How many candy bars can you name that are better than Butterfinger?
All of them.
I can name one.
Okay, so this is almost like a kind of how the quiz show ends.
Yeah, we're joke, but in that case, it's factual. In this case, you're trying to make an entertaining subjective.
Oh, I didn't know that's how the quiz show ended.
Normally it's like a counting type question where it's like, hey, this many Hall of Famers played in this game.
I think I can name 5 candy bars better.
I think I can name 6 candy bars better than a Butterfinger.
Now, does this also have rules like the auction house, where if one of us doesn't feel...
If you don't think you can name more than
six,
then
do I just leave myself out?
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't think you can.
God, you're getting gun-shy about Butterfinger?
I think I can name 8 better.
I think I can name 9 better.
You think you can name 10 better?
I didn't... You don't get to ask
then I think
me.
I can name 10 better.
I think I can name 11 candy bars that are better than Butterfinger.
Go ahead.
Well, do you need me to explain each one?
Not necessarily, but I might challenge you on some of them.
What's my number here?
11.
Okay. Nestle Crunch is better than Butterfinger.
Okay.
Hershey's just Classic is better.
That's a questionable one.
Classic milk chocolate.
I think it's easily better.
Hershey's just a regular chocolate bar with nothing in it?
Yes.
And with almonds, also better.
I'm on your team, Mulsey.
Thank you. Snickers. Just takes Butterfinger out behind the woodshed and beats it to death. So that's 5.
No, that's four.
I'm sorry. Twix, unquestionably better.
I'll give you that.
Than Butterfinger. I will also go with this one. This is like I'm a late arrival to this party.
I don't like where this is going already.
Why?
Because it sounds like it's going to be a controversial pick that we're all going to disagree with.
Take 5 is better than Butterfinger.
What's in it?
It's got the pretzel, little caramel, all that stuff, the chocolate.
I was just telling you how much I like pretzels. All right.
Take 5, definitely better. Now we're at 6.
You still got to get 5 more here, pal.
No, well, can this be a candy bar that, I mean, has existed for a long time, and I just you have to find them in Mexico now. It was a classic candy bar. I used to love the Bar None, which is hard to find.
You can't just bring up one that isn't widely available that you have to go to another country to get.
Fine. Kit Kats are better.
Yeah.
By a mile. Kit Kats and coffee.
I can't believe it took you that long to get to Kit Kats.
I would just relax. I was saving Kit Kat. Do we count? Okay, hold on. Reese's Cups to me are a candy bar because they're packaged.
Donnie, will you allow that?
Reese's Cups.
I'm fine with that.
I mean, come on.
All right, I'm writing it down, Chris.
It's Reese's Cups. Easily.
I'm conceding it to you. That's eight. You got to find three more.
100 grand.
Is that the one with caramel and crispy rice?
Yeah, a little bit.
All right.
Yeah. So that is 9 candy bars that are better than, Hershey's Crackle Bar, which is just their version of a Nestle Crunch. Oh, wait, so now the spirit of the thing
Donnie,
is ruined.
You can't say Crunch
it's
Bar
two different
and
bars,
then
baby.
Another company makes the same exact thing as a Crunch Bar and says and say it's better. That'd be like if we did pop and you're like Dr. Pepper and don't forget about Dr. Thunder. You can't get credit
for
both of those.
You can be the judge.
Yeah, same exact thing. It's a chocolate bar with crispy rice.
Yeah, you do bring up a fair point, like with the pop analogy, because then you could go like Mr. Pibb.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't forget about our pals Mountain Lightning.
No, listen, that's fine. Like, I will accept your judgment here. This isn't one of my favorites, but I'd still take it every single time. Three Musketeers, those SOBs with the swords.
I totally disagree.
No, classic. Just whip nougat and chocolate.
It's not
I'm Team Malzy.
Thank you.
What?
Thank you.
Jack, thumbs up or thumbs down on Three Musketeers bars? You guys suck.
Wicked thumbs up. A quick one.
Wow. And again, I'm going to throw one more in here, and I think I'm going to win with it. Whatchamacallit. The Whatchamacallit is an easy winner.
What's
here.
The name of it?
Whatchamacallit.
You can't remember the name of it?
Oh, here, we're going to do who's on first here? We Laurel and Hardy?
No, we're not going to do
that. That's what it's actually called. That's the actual name.
It's called Whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit.
Whatchamacallit is awesome.
What's in it?
It's kind of a whole mishmash of things.
It's a hodgepodge
of pretzel.
Nothing
yes,
candy
it's a
bar?
Pretzel. It's all the good stuff. Little caramel, little nougat. Yeah, Whatchamacallit. And I didn't even go with one because I felt like I would have been
Well, you tried to bring up one from Mexico,
I know.
Chris.
That's because that's my all-time favorite candy bar. It's like a running gag. I didn't even bring up one that's an automatic layup because if the two of them over there like Three Musketeers, Milky Way would have been an easy pick, too.
I'm not a big Milky Way guy.
I would have been betraying my conscience a little because I still have it above Butterfinger, but I don't love it.
You guys are aware who loves Butterfingers, right?
Starkey.
Yes. He sent me 4 texts in this span.
All right.
There is none better.
Bam!
Three Musketeers, embarrassing.
I agree with Joe on that.
Yeah.
All right, next one. FanDuel tweeted out today that ranked the top 10 running backs in NFL history. They put Walter Payton 1, Barry Sanders 2, Emmitt Smith 3. Here is a different spin on it for Can You Take Me Higher? How many Hall of Fame running backs can you name that Jerome Bettis was better than? So running backs in the Hall of Fame, then you would say Jerome Bettis was better than that guy who's in Canton. I'll say there's at least one. You want me to do it?
No, because it's the same one I know. Because it's a guy who only played for a very short period of time.
You think there's only one guy, one
running
back in
the
Hall of
Fame? I think I can name two.
Okay. I think I can name three.
That he's better than him.
Yep.
But see, you're not supposed to go and look and cheat, right? The whole point is that I'm not looking at Hall of Fame.
No, you can do whatever you want.
So you're saying you can name three that he's definitively better than?
Yeah. I mean, we have to do this
I know, I'm doing it quickly here. Hold on.
You guys want to just make me do it?
No, wait. I want to make sure.
Donnie's staying out of this. I thought Bettis was your guy. Jeez.
Son of a... No, because I don't want to concede the ground here on this.
Come on, Malzy. Make up your mind on this for crying out loud.
Name three.
Okay, Floyd Little.
That was the one I knew was an easy one. That was like an automatic. He's the Harold Baines of the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Man, what a...
Is that harsh?
It's such a horrible thing for...
to be for Harold
for
Baines.
Harold Baines.
It's bad for him, man.
Edgerrin James.
Really? Edge James is a 4.0 yards per carry guy. Fine, not that impressive. Edge James, the receiving threat, though, was catching 60, 50 balls a year.
He didn't do it long enough.
Donnie, I'm gonna.
I mean, he still played for 11 years in the NFL, but he just didn't have the year-to-year production that Bettis did.
How close did Bettis ever get even top five MVP votes? I don't think he did.
Why does that matter?
Edge James out of the gate was electric.
Edgerrin James, first team All-Pro, offensive rookie of the year, top three offensive player
twice.
Of the year, and then MVP.
96 and 97 he did top five, Bettis.
Does Bettis have a season better than either of Edgerrin James's first 2 years
probably
in the league?
Probably not, but if we did, like, how many good years that he had, I bet he's got more than James.
He got dinged.
Man, he had like 2,300 all-purpose and, what, 18 touchdowns his second year.
And then his third year was going to be even better, and he just got dinged with an injury, man.
What are we doing here? You're already calling me out here for my Edgerrin James
take? The
fact
that Edgerrin James... No, I'll concede the point here because Bettis did it for a long time, but I don't feel like... I feel like this is razor thin.
All right, third one. Terrell Davis.
Donnie, this is a problem here. I conceded the ground on Edge James, and the first two names I had written down were Floyd Little and Terrell Davis.
I knew he was going to go Davis just because of the short career and the very short prime.
I mean, the problem with Terrell Davis...
4 years!
The problem with Terrell Davis is very simple. I can start... Here's the problem with Terrell Davis in as few words as I can say it. Alandis Gary, Mike Anderson,
yes.
Clinton Portis.
He's got two huge problems working against him.
Hold on, I can
he
keep naming
He was in a system
them.
For running backs.
Tatum Bell.
He was in, like, the most running back-friendly system in the last 30 years, or roughly, and he barely played.
I'm trying to think of what the comp I would use for him in another sport is.
Yeah, Bettis was better than Davis.
Bettis is better than him. Terrell Davis had the 2,000-yard season and then was basically not heard of ever again. Mm-hmm. It's a 4-year career that he got in on, and if he runs for 10 fewer yards and runs for 1,998 yards, I'm not even sure he's in.
All right, last one.
Okay.
How many ACC football teams can you name that are better than Pitt?
I can name one.
I can name two.
Three.
I can name four.
I can name five.
Ooh, we're getting nitty gritty now, Don. I can name six.
Do it.
All right, here we go.
We'll give you Clemson right off the bat.
I'm gonna take Clemson. Thank you very much. That seems like a pretty easy one. Here's something safe that you can say. Clemson's gonna be on the list. Stanford will not be on the list. Give me Miami for sure. Miami's better than Pitt. I watched SMU take Pitt out back and thrash them into oblivion. They are better than Pitt as well.
Okay.
Here is another team that I think is pretty clearly better than Pitt that you wouldn't think it, but I saw them put a hell of a scare into Georgia and just not finish the deal. Give me Haynes King and Georgia Tech. I think they're better. They're also a nightmare to defend against.
They are favored against Colorado on Friday on the road.
I just think Georgia Tech is better than them.
Yes, that's why you put them on this list. I think
Louisville has more talent than them up and down the line.
The line of scrimmage, you mean?
No,
or like
no, no.
The
up and
roster?
Down, like overall roster. I think Louisville usually has talent levels that I would
be
comfortable picking.
They won 9 games last year, and then who's going to be 6 for you? You going to go with Bill Belichick in North Carolina?
I have a couple different ones.
How about Syracuse? They
no,
won 10
I
games
actually,
last year.
This is going to make you. This is going to make you laugh. And
by
I
the way, Kyle
something.
McCord was released today, so the Maloiki I put on his career continues.
Oh, you really did. You did an absolute number on him. Here's the team actually that I'm going to surprise you with and go with as my sixth team. That's better than Pitt. I think Duke's better than them.
What?
I think Duke is a better team.
Jack, thumbs up or thumbs down? Duke a better football team than Pitt? Ooh. Decisive thumbs down.
Gave you the old Batista.
So, I think that they have a pretty interesting quarterback, Darian Mensah, who came over from Tulane last year, was very good at Tulane.
Where are you getting all this information from?
What are you talking about? Where am I getting it from? You think I didn't do my homework?
I didn't know that you thought you were going to be talking about Duke football today.
I knew of Darian Mensah, and I knew that Duke...
Did you just do a quick Google search on
no,
them?
No, I knew who their quarterback was, because I've been listening to podcasts for the last, like, 3 weeks straight, previewing every conference in college
football.
You
should be listening to Harry Callis at 5 o'clock in the morning and not those podcasts. He'll teach you something.
Hell no. No, I think Darian Mensah is a better quarterback right now coming back.
They won 9 games
jumping
last
in there.
Year.
They won 9. I think they have a decent amount of talent, and I like... Mensah was bad at Tulane in the games where Tulane was just like overmatched person to person, where they had to go play Oklahoma and he wasn't good.
Yep.
The rest of the year against good teams, other than like Army kind of stomping all over them, and Army was great last year, he was putting up big numbers as a true freshman. So I like the quarterback position. I don't like the way Holstein and Pitt finished the year.
Yep.
I get that Pitt has Reed, and I get that they have Kyle Lewis, and I get that Holstein hopefully will be healthy and better, but I think Duke on paper right now is better.
Pitt was picked to finish 9th by the media.
Notice I didn't take any of the layups like Florida State. You know, you could take the
layup. They won 2 games last
year.
That's not a layup.
They're Florida State, so people will probably just have lazily gone, oh, yeah, that Florida State's better than Pitt because they didn't even pay attention last year to that dumpster fire.
Clemson, Miami, SMU, Georgia Tech, Louisville, Duke, Florida State, North Carolina. All.
I wasn't going to pick Belichick. I feel like that could still go very.
All right. How do you think this went?
Very.
You want to do this more than once, or was this a disaster?
I think we can keep workshopping.
Does the text line hate it? Does YouTube hate it?
What is YouTube saying? We hate Creed.
So this
well,
is.
Well, I mean, that's a non-negotiable. I mean, that's.
Is this a Creed problem or is this an us problem here?
I mean, the text line is just sharing some opinion.
Well, that's good. They're engaged.
Yeah, I mean.
No, everybody's pretty engaged. It's not surprising that people seem to be most pleased that I won the candy bar thing and just kind of beat you guys into submission on that front. So I think we can do this. We might tweak it a little bit, but I think this can stay. All anytime right. You can just loop Creed over and over again, you've got to keep it.